Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the El Pamonte Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, pal?
Good morning, Bruce. Guys. Good morning, gentlemen. And I have one question for you guys. In just a little while after you start asking me a few, okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. But
you want us to go first?
It's your show, you know, so I think it's only right you go first.
So, Bruce, how are you holding up during this whole thing? And what do you make of some of the, I guess let's start with the Jason Kipnis comments about questioning whether or not a three-week spring training, if and when baseball does resume, is long enough.
It's long enough, and I have the answer for you. So 1995, right? We go back to that strike year. 1994, there was a strike. The season ended on August 11th. There was only 112 games played that year. It went all the way into 1995. There was no normal spring training. There was still a strike lockout in English. And they used replacement players up until April 1st when there was a deal struck between both sides. They had a three-week spring training, and in the case of the Chicago Cubs, Jamie Navarro, their number one starter, came out, and in his first three starts threw 7-7 and 8 innings. Every starting pitcher on the 1995 Cubs, all five threw more than 150. Four of them threw more than 160. Navarro threw 200 innings. And that is with just 29 starts. So it can be, and it will be done. You know, I can hear Harry in the background. It might be, it could be, it can be done. So I think 3 weeks is going to be enough. And position players should be more than ready. It's usually about the pitching. And if you think 25 years ago was a different era of pitcher, and they can't, and the modern era might not be able to keep up with it, I don't know, but guys are still throwing 33 starts.
Bruce, there's a really wonderful thing going on in the Score here. We're doing the 17 games and 17 nights, and it started last night, the interactive radio show with Pat and Ron and our buddy Joe talking about the games as they're ongoing. Is there a favorite among those games? Is that opening series one of your favorites when you look back on it?
It is, and I think the fifth game where they came from behind in the ninth inning and took that game when they were facing the possibility of having to return to Chicago for game five if they lost that game. And they were dominated in that game until the ninth inning and the bullpen came in for the Giants. And if they would have had to go back to Chicago, the Giants would have had Johnny Cueto, the hottest pitcher in the playoffs, one of the hottest pitchers in baseball that year, going in Game 5. So there was a lot of doom and gloom about if you had to go to Game 5. The Cubs come back, you know, Zobrist, of course, it's always Zobrist. He starts the whole thing, and they win miraculously and take that series in four games. I thought that was the really pivotal part of the playoffs for them. You can go to so many different games, and it's going to be so much fun listening to all of those games on the score as they're played over these 17 nights.
Oh, it was fun last night. I mean, you heard the enthusiasm in Ron and Pat's voice during the pregame show. They were, like, just excited to be talking about baseball again, Bruce. And everybody is anxious. And as each day that passes, we'll get a little bit more eager to see a return to the field. Now, obviously, the medical experts are right. The virus will establish the timeline for sports and when they return. But of all the scenarios that you've seen, when would you reasonably project opening day?
Oh, you can't do it. You can't, because we can't even project when the governor is going to let us out of the house to even be around more than just a few people and 6 feet away. So you just can't do it. It's folly at this point. Now, I can tell you the Major League Baseball and the people that are running it are looking at multiple models of different time variables and different situations of games that could be or can be played at different junctures of whether it's late June, July, you know, all kinds of different models with all kinds of different scenarios of, you know, half season, you know, extended season into October, shortened playoffs. Everything that you can imagine is on the table. But the people there assured me that they can't even begin to put a solid plan in place because they have no timeline at this point in time. Hopefully this thing subsides soon and people start, you know, we get our health back and we're allowed to gather in groups. But just think of the first challenge, okay? When do they tell 35 guys they can be in a small room together for the first time, okay? And if one guy gets sick, what happens at that point? So from that perspective, you know, we have a way to go. But I can promise you the good people at MLB are looking at all those scenarios right now.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating to think about it. And, you know, people throw out July 4th as a possibility. We heard that the other day. And, you know, it's just for whatever reason, we want to hook things to holidays.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know that that makes a ton of sense, but I think, you know, you're absolutely right about it. What we're doing here is waiting for some sort of treatment that allows us to kind of get back to a normal life. And then once that happens, then you can kind of put together all the scenarios around it. And hopefully you'll have a vaccine by whatever next year, but you need to have a treatment so that we're not all walking around as carriers and all the rest of it. And one of the things we're talking about, Bruce, is playing games where there wouldn't be a crowd. How would that, I can't even imagine that, but people make jokes that the Sox have been through that. Nonetheless, it is, it's not something that anybody would want to see. I remember that game in Baltimore, watching that, just truly bizarre.
Yeah, the no energy part of it for the, now, every player I've talked to about it, I'm sure you guys have and will go through this talking to more players down the road here the next couple of, you know, weeks and hopefully not months, but regardless, they all say we get our energy, we get our, you know, pickup from the fans and from playing in front of our home crowds. And as Anthony Rizzo said, on the away games, they get their energy by showing getting the boos against them and all the energy back from trying to beat that crowd and beat that team. And with an empty ballpark, you know, you wonder how much energy will be put forth, how entertaining it would be with a couple of announcers, even though we have the greatest announcers in the world here in Chicago. You know, how will it be with the announcers, just the announcers and the game going on itself? Nonetheless, people are probably screaming right now listening to this. We'll take our baseball any form we can as long as we have our game. Yep.
You know, Bruce, as much as it was such a almost comforting to hear Pat and Ron talk about the Cubs the other day, boy, it was nice to hear Lucas Giolito talk again about baseball. And during the teleconference, I think he just reminded us just how much he's got everything all together. He's got a great perspective. What was your biggest takeaway from that teleconference hearing from Giolito?
Well, just the confidence in the sport and that, you know, we all have high hopes about the game coming back, and that we need it, you know, as much as it's the toy store of real life, sports are so essential for people's escape. And boy, we all need that now, don't we? I mean, you know, there's just something that's missing in our lives as sports fans, and that's the escape that the game allows us from everyday mundane life. And I think everyone will have a finer appreciation for it, and I think that he has that appreciation right now that, hey, it might not be the most important thing in the world, but it's important to him and his family and the sports fans out there, and he's going to do his best to stay in shape and be ready when the bell rings. And, again, a finer appreciation of what we've all taken for granted our whole lives.
It's interesting, Bruce, because I think that if there's one team out there that might be able to handle no crowds, it might be the Astros. And of course, Jim Crane in the news again yesterday, there is that lawsuit from Mike Bolsinger about the awful illegal sign stealing. And he filed a claim saying that he has been explicitly exonerated by MLB and by Manfred, and so therefore he shouldn't be involved in this lawsuit. Apparently, by filing that, according to Bolsinger's lawyer, they now feel there can be discovery. There's already been looking for discovery in the New York case that features some of the fantasy baseball people suing over this. What would that do to MLB? What would that do to Manfred if that investigation were completely revealed? Because I'm not sure how that would break down in court or if that would happen. But if it did, I imagine Major League Baseball doesn't want it out.
No, and if you take it all the way through the scenario that you laid out, Mike, how would it be with Jose Altuve on the stand testifying? You know, how would it be because that's where it would go. Those players who were exonerated by Major League Baseball would not be exonerated in a courtroom, okay, on a civil suit. So from all of that, it would be the most fascinating soap opera that we've seen in sports in many, many years. But nonetheless, I'm sure, as we all know, settlements have always been a big part of baseball. But once the Astros do, if indeed they follow through on my idea that they would settle a case like this down the road, then how many more are they going to have to deal with for guys whose careers might have been impacted by playing the Astros and not doing well?
Okay, Bruce, we're done asking you questions. You said you had a couple for us. How can we help?
Yeah, just one closing. What is your uniform attire, and is it pants or no pants?
Molly, you go first.
Well, I, you know, it's funny that you asked that, because I did get up and take a shower and make sure that I had cleaned up my act. I'm wearing a nice pair of khakis and a sweater. It's funny you mention that, though, because at one point, one of my kids was walking downstairs talking to someone on FaceTime, and my wife is like, "Hey, where are your pants?" Which is not something you want to hear when you're talking to someone. So it was pretty amusing to hear that in my house.
You know, I've gone through the same routine, Bruce, as I do every day, like if I were driving in and going to the studio.
Right.
So I have on exactly what I would be wearing normally. So I am wearing pants, glad to report. It just seems like it's better to maintain that sort of routine or that structure, because it feels like you're commuting, even though the commute is, you know, I don't have to worry about traffic except for the two dogs, and they get out of the way pretty quickly in the morning.
Just, David, just one suggestion. The tie and the sport coat's a little overdressed for sitting at home.
I'll loosen my tie for you, Bruce. Thank you.
Guys,
all right, Bruce.
Day. Thanks a lot.
And you,
thanks,
of course, you're wearing your tuxedo because you got that James Bond thing going, so we appreciate
that. Of course. The
Yes
and Healy's waiting downstairs. Take care, guys.
All right, buddy. All right. God bless.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.